Welcome to another Message from the Heart. Life-changing messages from the heart of Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Woombah.
I want to share with you a short message on Mother's Day. Mother's Day. And today I would like to study the phenomenon of a mother's faith. Because we hear about a mother's love a lot, but we don't hear a lot about a mother's faith. But a mother's faith changes lives, changes destinies, changes many, many things. Now, I know in my case, my mother's love was a large part of the reason that I'm standing before you today. How many of you can relate to this? Because there's many a night as a teenager, I went out with my mum's prayers protecting and sustaining me. Is that right? Mostly she prayed and asked protection for me from my own stupid decisions and actions. That's what it's like being a teenager. Teenager, have we got a few teenagers here, I think, or they might be out of kids. It's hard being a teenager. When I was 19, I thought my father knew nothing. By the time I made 21, I was amazed at what he picked up in 2 years. It was incredible. But when I was a teenager, the grace of God got me out of some difficult situations, and I'm sure most of you can relate to that. But I believe it was the prayers of my mother in particular that protected me in those areas. Your mum may not be a Christian. Your upbringing may not have been part of your salvation experience. I mean, look, you might not even like your mum, truth be told. You might have wished that you were born into slavery rather than into the family you were born into. I don't know what it's like for you, but mums, I think today is the day when we want to make it right with our kids, don't you? And I think, kids, it's a great day to make it right with your mum, because it's Mother's Day and it's what we celebrate. So we know what love is, or at least we think we do. When we talk about a mother's love for her children, it's something very special. But when you're going to discuss love, the word love, English is a really poor language to do it in. It is far better to do it in Greek. Do we have any Greek scholars here? Just one. I knew there. Well, there's two. There you go. So I'm going to go through four. I believe there's six, maybe seven words for love. But I'm going to go through the big four and talk about what they are. Because English is a poor language to discuss love in. We use the word love just so loosely. I love my wife. I love the Broncos. You know, I love my mum. I love Vegemite. It's the same word. What's wrong with us? How can we love Vegemite as much as we love our mum or our kids? So English is a terrible language. The word love is almost universally misused. I mean, we talk about, especially on movies and TV shows, they talk about making love, okay? When the two parties involved are most often not in love and they're using each other for sex. That's not making love, folks. There's no love in that. That's using people. That's for movies, but it's also for real life. We need to, you know, love goes beyond all of those sorts of things. So to understand a mother's love, let's have a look at the four Greek words that the Greek uses for love. Number one, we have storge. Now, this word is used, it's not really used in the Bible. It refers to love, empathy, or affection, mainly for family members. And it's the same word that you would use if you say, I don't like him, but I suppose I have to love him. My son, I don't like him, but I suppose I have to love him. That would be that, you'd use that word there. The same word is used if you love a country or a sporting team or Vegemite. So you would, I storge Vegemite. Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is eros love. This is sexual love from which we get the term erotic. Our English word erotic comes from the word eros. Now, interestingly, Plato, the great philosopher, suggested that this type of love also applies to people where sex isn't the expression of this love, leading to the term platonic relationship. You ever heard of that? Who knows what a platonic relationship is? Yeah. Used to use it a bit, you know, growing up. Oh, you know, I'm not interested in this girl for a relationship. Let's have a platonic one, meaning there's no sexual component, okay? The third one is philia, which is an affectionate regard or intimate friendship. And it denotes loyalty, friendship, and brotherly love. So I'm guessing philia would sort of roundabout approximate the Aussie mateship. You know, this is my mate. I feel filial love for him. Because a lot of Australian males have a lot of trouble saying, I love my best mate. because it doesn't sound, because our love is too broad. But see, in their language, you can philia your best mate, and it's acceptable. Does that make sense? And the third one is the one we concentrate on most in the church, which is agape, which is the highest form of love or charity, the type of love that God has for man, and it embraces a universal, unconditional love that transcends and serves unconditionally, regardless of the circumstances. This particular form of love is not affected by whether it is returned or not. So you can agape love someone even if they don't love you back. And usually this is reserved for God's love. So John 3:16, you know that verse, okay? They hold it up at the back of football stadiums and stuff. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That word love is agape. For God so unconditionally loved this world that he gave his son. He didn't say, well, you need to pay a certain amount till you get him. He didn't say you need to do a bunch of stuff till you get him. He loves so much that he just gave with no thought of return, completely unconditionally. Now, interestingly, though the word storge fits for family love, a mother's love is often referred to, especially in the great acts of exceptional motherly love and charity, as agape. Okay, so family love is storge, but when they talk about a mother's love, it seems to run deeper and it gets this other word, which is the unconditional love. So it is the unconditional, unassailable, undefeatable love that is independent of anything you do, say, or become. And I think true motherly love exudes this. Don't you believe that? Great mums are fiercely protective of their children. Who's fiercely protective of your children? I certainly am, and I'm not even a mum. Most mums, here's another thing, most mums always see the good in their children despite what everyone else thinks and despite sometimes the facts. Did you know that? How many of you have been told that your child has done, you know, X, Y, Z, and you've said, oh, no, that can't be right? I brought her up better than that. But mums seem to always believe the good in people, no matter what. They actually believe in you when you don't believe in you. Isn't that cool? Here's a few examples of slightly misguided mums that believed in their children. Hitler's mum, Clara, took him to church and wanted him to be a civil servant. Lucked out on that one. Napoleon's mum was married at 13 and had 13 children. Did you know that? And accompanied him into exile on the Isle of Elba. She went into exile with him. We're actually talking to one of the mums last week who had a large number of children. And I said, I can't imagine, you know, giving birth to, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 children. She said, it's okay, after the fifth one, they just walk out on their own. It's okay. That's a direct quote, honestly. I'm not, yeah. Osama bin Laden's mum wanted him to stop fighting the West and come home to Saudi like a good boy. He didn't. Donald Trump described his mum as smart as hell and said he's had trouble finding a woman to marry who could compare to her. How about that? I also read about Ted Bundy's mother, Louise. She loved her son so much she refused to believe that he was a killer until a series of death row confessions just before his execution put the matter beyond doubt that he had murdered more than 36 women. They think it's up towards 100. But she kept believing in him, even though she was misguided. See, these mums saw the best in their children, and when others saw them as tyrants and killers, they still saw their child. That's a mother's love, right? And I believe that mums always want the best for their kids and their grandkids, and I bet every mum in this room does too. So let me look at a positive instance or a few positive instances of a mother's love and faith. First of all, I want to talk about St. Augustine. Now, St. Augustine, he was a guy back in the 300 AD sort of area, 350 AD thereabouts. But his mum loved him. But he was a wayward son. The young Augustine lived with a girl. He had an illegitimate child to her. And then he followed this up by going into a heretical sect for 9 years. And she thought he was lost. He refused to listen to her or speak to her, and she was so distraught that she prayed and prayed, and God gave her a dream that settled her heart, and then a mother's faith began to pray into that dream. A short time later, Augustine came out of that cult, came to Christ, and became one of the most significant church fathers of his generation. He was once lost, but he was found through God's love and grace and a mother's faith. So the greatest privilege of being a mother is that I think God gives you a huge measure of faith. Don't you believe that for your children? Your faith is stronger, your love is stronger, and God loves the faith of a mother. He bestows not only faith, but also wisdom. Have you thought about the wisdom of mothers? Mothers know so many things, and they like to pass their wisdom on to their kids. I want to share with you a few quotes of motherly wisdom or concerning mothers from some famous people. Mark Twain said, "My mother had a great deal of trouble with me, and I think she enjoyed it." Diego Maradona, the football player, "My mother thinks I'm the best, and I was raised to always believe what my mama told me." If you know him, that really fits. Phyllis Diller, she said, "I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford. Then I want to move in with them." Irma Bombeck said, "When your mother asked you if you want a piece of advice, it's a formality. Whatever you answer, you're going to get it." How true is that? One mum said to me, "My kids call it yelling when I raise my voice at them, but I call it motivational speaking for selective listeners." Another mum said this, and some of you will relate, if you've got young kids, you will relate to this. Another mum said this, "My nickname is Mum. My real name is Mum, 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 Mum." And another quote I found from an eminent child psychologist, I think he was, Benjamin Spock, who remembers him? Don't think much of him, but anyway, he said this, "There are only two things a child will willingly share: communicable diseases and their mother's age." So I thought that was profound as well. So that's a little bit about mother's wisdom. I want to talk about a mother's faith, because Scripture has many examples of faithful mums, mums who made a difference in the lives of their children and even the world in which they live. Moses' mum was one example. You remember, she took that little baby in imminent danger, placed it in a basket in the bulrushes, and then when the Pharaoh's daughter found that little child, the young Moses, in the basket, the Pharaoh's daughter needed a nanny, so she got Moses' actual mother to come and be his nanny. Isn't that incredible? And the child was saved. Think of Rahab, whose faith saved her family. Think of Mary, Elizabeth, Hannah, and even Deborah, who was described as a mother to the nation of Israel, led her troops to a great victory over Sisera. If you're doing the Bible reading plan, you'd have done that in the last week or so. Deborah, an amazing woman of God. But today, I want to concentrate on a situation recorded in Matthew 15. If you have your Bible there, we're going to read a little passage here. This is a fantastic story of a Canaanite woman who saved and set her daughter free from demonic oppression by pushing through and being faithful. Now, the background of this passage, you need to know a little bit of culture here, because back in those times, the Jews hated the Gentiles and actually called them dogs. They said they are lower than dogs. They are Gentiles. It's very arrogant, but that was the culture of the day. And if you think back on Joshua and Judges, these Gentiles were the remnants of the evil nations that Israel conquered but failed to dislodge. All these centuries later, they are still there, a thorn in their side, as God said they would be. So Jews hated Gentiles. They were lower than a wombat's basement. They hated them. They were terrible. So let's pick it up, Matthew 15, verse 21. "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon," which is a Gentile district. "And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she's crying out after it.' And he answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.' But..." Here's the faith of a mother. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. You see the culture there, the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall at their master's tables. Then Jesus answered, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done as you have desired. And her daughter was healed instantly. Interesting story, isn't it? Mum's on your special day here. I want to speak directly to you and ask you about your children, your family, your grandkids, even your husband, those you care about. What we see here in this story is a woman who had plenty of obstacles, but she stood in the gap for her child. Her faith stood there for her child. As I share around this passage, I want you to not think about the pictures up here or what I'm saying. I want you to think about someone in your life, in your family, that you love, that isn't walking with the Lord. Because this morning, I'm going to believe that there is grace here to draw our children and our grandkids into the kingdom of God. You with me? That's probably why the devil's fighting so hard here, and I have to, because he doesn't want us to pray for our children. He doesn't. But prayer changes things. Prayer is like the slender nerve that moves the omnipotent muscle of God. And I believe that our prayers are incense to him. And when we pray for our children, he hears us. When we believe for our children, he takes us in our faith. So, number one, this mother took a chance. This Canaanite woman knew the social stigmas. I mean, she knew everything was against her. Number one, her race was against her. She was a foreigner. She was a Gentile. The Jews hated her. But she's going to go up to a Jewish rabbi to ask for a miracle. Number two, her sex was against her, because at the time, most Jewish rabbis didn't talk to women hardly at all. Again, the culture of the day. It seemed the disciples were against her. You go up to this famous, amazing guy, and you can't even get to him because all of his minders are around him, and they tell you to go away. And she might have even thought that Christ's words were against her, except we'll come to in a moment why they weren't. She could have stopped, she could have given up, and she could have even stopped before she started. She could have just said, oh, this is just too hard. But hey, it was her daughter we're talking about here. She decided, she could have given up on getting to Jesus and asking him to pray, but she wouldn't give up on her daughter. She wouldn't give up on her flesh and blood. That's the faith of a mother. And so neither should you. Sometimes we look at people that we love who are not walking with the Lord, and it just all seems too hard. How many of you have looked at your kids and your grandkids and thought, they don't know the Lord. They're wandering away. They're doing all these things that I don't approve of. They're ruining their life and they can't see it. How many of you have thought that? I have, about my own kids. I'm telling you that we need to stand in the gap for our children. We need to pray and believe that they will come to the Lord and that they will lead prosperous and fruitful lives right into eternity for Jesus Christ. Because it's too important to forget about, and it's too important to give up on. Don't give up on your children. Pray for them. They're doing things you don't approve of or making bad decisions. They're breaking your heart. They might even be attacking you and pulling away from you and telling you you're not much of a mum. Listen, this mum stepped up and took a chance. And I want to encourage you mums today to do the same. Our wayward kids might seem distant now. They might seem like they're ignoring your advice or rebelling, but the faith of a mother is worth much. You can't say, you got to pray. And I believe that when we pray, that the Lord hears us. And he's going to start to bring, I'm looking forward to the next several months when I hear about children and grandchildren committing their lives to Jesus Christ as a result of our prayers. Yes, come on. This mother's faith won the day. You need to take a chance, mums, today and trust the Lord. Some of you have been praying for ages. You get discouraged. You get down. You think, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm wasting my time. You are not wasting your time. Today's the day. We're going to step up and believe. The second thing is, this mother asked a question. This mother's faith drove her to ask the big question. And sometimes you need to ask questions of those kids and grandkids and so on. they may excuse me, they may accuse you of being pushy or overbearing, but sometimes asking a simple question makes them stop and think. Sometimes even just a look will suffice. Have you ever noticed the look? Who's practiced the look here? You know what I'm talking about, the look. I remember being caught doing things wrong as a kid, and Mum didn't even have to say anything, she'd just look. And I'd know she knew. Like, I thought I got away with it, I go, no, she totally knows. Mums are like that, trust me, guys. And I mean, I'm a dad, so, but there's something special about mums. You can't fool Mum. Mothers know, they have wider fields of view. They have eyes in the back of their head. They see everything and hear everything and read between the lines. And trust me, I know about this because I have a mother and I'm married to a psychotherapist who's a mother. They know stuff. Sometimes it's more psycho than therapy, but they know stuff. They know stuff. I was talking the other week about the difference between men and women. How, you know, when men communicate, I speak, you listen, then you speak, I listen. Women don't do that. They all speak at the same time. And they all understand what everybody's saying all at the same time. How do they do that? It's just amazing. You know, I read a quote while I was preparing this, and it was for mums, and it said this, silence is golden unless it's to do with toddlers. Then it's just suspicious. You see, if I hear silence from the toddlers, I'm going, great time, beauty, can do what I want to do. Mum's going, no, something's wrong. You know, we're different. So this Canaanite mum asked the question, Matthew 15:22. The Canaanite woman came from the region and was crying out, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Now, speaking to Jesus, she addressed him as the Lord, the son of David, which is a title. This is where you've got to get the culture. It's a title only Jews would use in speaking of the Messiah. So here's this Gentile woman who knows nothing of the culture, but she calls him by a name that even the Jews had trouble using when it came to him, because she was acknowledging who he was. Jesus was the son of David. A Gentile had no right to approach him at all, especially on that basis. And that is why he didn't answer at first. She had no right to approach, but she did anyway, you see. That's the thing. A mother's faith will push through and ask the questions. So mum, step up and ask questions of your wayward children. You'll be surprised at what God wants to do for you. You don't necessarily have to ask them because many of them aren't listening. But ask God. God, come on, why? And ask him the big questions. God, bring this child through for Jesus Christ. There's someone in your mind right now. And we're going to pray and believe that the Lord's going to bring them to his side. Now, the third thing is this mother suffered attack. And ladies, if you step out for God, expect opposition. You might get it from your kids. You might get it from their dad, from their partner, their friends, somebody. You will find your own feelings being attacked. Periods when you even doubt that God hears you. It might even come from the people in church who just don't believe that God can do what you're asking. If you step out in faith, you will be attacked, I can assure you. Look at what happened to this mum. Matthew 15:23-24. Look at it in your Bible. But he did not answer her a word, and the disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she's crying out to us. And he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The disciples didn't want her around. Get rid of her. She's an embarrassment. And she may have even thought that Jesus wanted her gone, but she was staying. Why did she stay? Because she loved her daughter. Because she was praying and she wanted to see her daughter heal. So when you face attacked, react like this mother of faith did. She came and said this in verse 25. She knelt before him in humility and said, Lord, help me. And mums, I encourage you to get real and to get honest with the Lord today. Today is Mother's Day, and I sense the heart of God for faithful mums right now. So get real and get honest and say with all your heart, Lord, help me. Because our kids need to be preserved for the kingdom, don't they? And we need to get, you know, we sang a song before, I'm desperate for you. You can sing it, but are you really desperate? You say, I want my kids to be saved. I want my grandkids to come to Christ. But are you really desperate? Because this woman was so desperate, she got on her knees and just said, Lord, help. I believe that the prayer of a mother's faithfulness for her kids and grandkids is going to be answered this morning by the Lord. Now, the fourth thing is this mother had her faith tested. Jesus decided when she pushed through this far, he looked at her. I don't think he was angry at all. He looked at her with love and he said this, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Does that seem harsh? It does. Sounds a bit harsh and nasty. But this is where we need to have a good look at this. In the context, Jesus wasn't actually having a shot at her at all. In Hebrew, there's more than one word for dog. Let's have a look at what he said. You have to remember that she was a Gentile, and the Jews called all the Gentiles dogs. And the word they use for dog is like a mangy, disgusting, you know, street sort of scavenging dog. But Jesus looked at her with a different, he used a different word here. Jesus doesn't use the particular word that they use for dogs. Instead, he used the word for a little pet puppy. And he said, it's not right to take the children's bed and feed it to the pet puppies. Isn't that incredible? That changes the whole context because it's a term of endearment, cuteness. But it still is conveying that she's not worthy in a sense. So he didn't call her a rabid street dog or a mangy mongrel. He called her a little puppy. The question was really, would she take offense to what he said, or would she acknowledge her unworthiness and receive what he was about to offer? So mums, it's so easy to take offense. She could have gone, dog, you're calling me a dog, get out of here. She could have got up and walked away. But she didn't, because she loves her daughter. And she was standing in the gap for her daughter. So mums, don't take offense at anything your kids or your grandkids say or do. I know some of you here do. They say horrible things. And I guarantee you sometimes you say horrible things back. It's easy to take offense. But as soon as you take offense, you put a barrier up. It's not a, it's a fence between you and them. I would encourage you to love them, pray for them, believe for them, and claim them for Jesus Christ. I would rather be offended and see my kids saved than silent and distant and feel less offended. Wouldn't you? So I know some of you are bearing offense from your children and your grandkids and things they've said and done. But I believe today is the day to forgive that and let it go, because their salvation is at stake. Do you hear me? I would rather be offended and they get saved than to feel okay about myself and they go to a Christless eternity. Number five, this mother persisted. Now, this mum's reply was not to crawl away and be insulted and get upset when Jesus tested her. She said this, yes, Lord, even the little puppies eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In these few words, she was humbling herself for the sake of her daughter. She was persisting and believing because she loved her child and she wanted to see her set free. So in effect, what this lady said was this, you are right, I'm only a little puppy under the table, but I noticed, Master, that crumbs sometimes fall to the floor. Won't you let me have some of the crumbs? I know I'm not worthy that you should heal my daughter, but I beg you to do it for one of your undeserving creatures. That's effectively what she was saying. I know I don't deserve it, but please help me anyway. And who among us here can say that we deserve God's love? Who among us here can say that we deserve whatever we ask of God that he will do it? None of us, right? Because it's by grace. Good works are great, but they don't get you saved. And they don't even, obedience moves the heart of God, but just doing good works and pious things doesn't. So I think we've got to look at ourselves and say, okay, we're not worthy of this, but God, you are God and you love us. And by your grace, we're going to ask for our children's salvation. Some of you mums have prayed for years for your kids and you've seen little results. Sometimes it's so discouraging because they never seem to change, even into adulthood. You know, you keep thinking they're going to grow up at some point, and they just don't. They just keep making crazy decisions. Maybe they're lost in a bad relationship. Maybe they're into substance abuse. Maybe they're just good people, but they've crowded God out of their lives. See, that's the thing. People think if they're good enough, they'll get to heaven. People think if they do good things, they'll be acceptable to God. But what we've got to let our children know is that you're saved by grace. Nothing that you do. You can be a really, really good person, a super nice guy. But when you die, you'll be the nicest guy in hell because you don't have Jesus Christ. It's a simple message. The gospel is a simple message. If you ask Jesus into your life, you are saved. You go to heaven. If you don't, you don't. Doesn't matter how good you think you are. Because all of us have sinned, haven't we? Have you sinned? I've sinned many a time. But see, we need to be saved from our sins, and we can't do it, but God can. And that's why for our kids and our grandkids, we don't need to preach to them. We don't need to philosophize to them. We don't need to shake our finger and tell them how bad they are. We need to pray. Because God's grace is what saves them, not our good works. You can't talk people into the kingdom of heaven. It's a spiritual transaction. They've got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. Even here today, some of you, you know, kids have come along and you may not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're breaking your mother's heart. And you're breaking his heart because he loves you. God's not out to rain on your parade and give you a rotten life. The Christian life is the greatest life you could ever live. I'm having a ball as a Christian. I don't know about you. I'm standing up here with half a lung and a raging throat infection and going, hallelujah. It's a great life being a Christian. It's an incredible life and it lasts for eternity. But if you continue to hold on, kids, you not only break your mother's heart, but you break his heart. Today is the day. It's Mother's Day. Come to Jesus. It's the day when you can open your heart and say, yes, Lord, this is it. I want to give my heart to you. The Bible says it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not by works. Not by anything you do. Not by anything you try to do. Not by religion. Not by works, so that no one may boast. Christian mums here today, you know that for many of you, this truth leads you to pray for your wayward kids, whether they are successful corporate CEOs or cellar-dwelling drug addicts, doesn't matter. They're your kids and you pray for them. And I want to urge you today to keep praying, to do like this lady did, and never give up on your kids, your grandkids, even husbands and exes. You can't change them. I can't change them, but God can, so persist. Is that all right? The sixth thing is, and this is where it gets exciting, a mother's faith was rewarded. See, Jesus was so delighted with what she said, with her persisting and that little comment about just, Lord, I don't deserve it, but please give it to me, that he commended her. Matthew 15, verse 28, Jesus says this, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. See, Jesus commended her for having great faith. While the unbelieving children, the Jews, had no hunger for the bread, here was a self-confessed little doggy crying out for it. A mother's faith was rewarded. Her daughter was healed instantly. And interestingly, Jesus never complimented the religious leaders or even the disciples for having great faith. But he complimented a Gentile woman for having great faith. Is that incredible? What did he say of the disciples? Are you of little faith? And here's this Gentile, undeserving woman, this mother, crying out to God. And he says, great is your faith. How awesome is that? So, mums, my challenge to you today is to stand in the gap for your children and your grandchildren. whatever you're believing with your family, partners, children, grandchildren, I believe that today is the day when you can stand and believe, and we want to stand with you. In a moment, I'm going to ask all the mums to stand and come forward if you have wayward children that you really desperately care about. And we're going to pray together and believe the Lord that we will see salvation. Are you with me on that? Do you want to start believing today? Most, you're not starting. You want to keep believing today for those kids who aren't walking with the Lord. We're going to join together and we're going to see a reward. I believe we're going to see a reward for this. So happy Mother's Day, mums. But there's a line from the Spice Girls there. I don't normally put Spice Girls lines in my messages, but mums, that's the message today. Tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I want to, yeah. So what is it you really want? Now, some of you got breakfast in bed. Many of you got presents and cute things and special things that, you know, that are great and awesome and come from the heart. That's great, that's awesome, but they will never last. The flowers will die. The chocolates will strangely disappear. Nothing will last. Even that little distorted plate that your son or daughter made that's cracked all through the middle and you know that everybody got one of those somewhere? Even that little picture you put on the fridge. We've had Kaylee. What is she now, 18 months? 16 months? She's got a pen and she's... And I said, that's a masterpiece. We could sell that for $1 million. That's incredible. You know, we think it is. But none of that stuff, as good as it is, none of it lasts. But I tell you this, I know the heart cry of many of you mums is the salvation of your children and your grandchildren. And that, mums, will last forever. So that's what we need to go for. You may have been fighting for them in prayer for years, but I'm going to ask you to stand for them today and let us as a church join you and fight together. If you as a mum have a child or a grandchild on your heart, and if you're praying specifically for their salvation, then I'm going to ask you to stand. So let's just quieten your heart for a moment, close your eyes. But if you're a mum and you want to fight for your children, one of your children that's not walking with the Lord, I'm going to ask you to stand.
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Woombye, on the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more messages from the heart, transcripts, and other material, visit www.coastchurch.com.au or subscribe on podbean.com. See you next week on Messages from the Heart.